famous Viktor Frankl, concentration camp survivor and author and lecturer, said about attitude, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." My friend, are you facing something today that, if you look at it from one point of view, could look to be very devastating in your life? And yet possibly from a different perspective, or maybe even after some time has passed and you look back, you'll be able to see God's infinite wisdom in bringing you this pathway so that in fact you can grow closer, so that those prayers that you've been praying, "God, help me to be more like you," will in fact come to pass. Concerning attitude, Joe Theismann, a famous football player, enjoyed an illustrious 12-year career as quarterback of the Washington Redskins, and he led the team to two Super Bowl appearances, winning in 1983 before losing the following year. And when a leg injury forced him out of football just a couple of years later in 1985, he was entrenched in the record books as Washington's all-time leading passer. And still, the tail end of Theismann's career taught him a bitter lesson. He said, "I got stagnant. I thought the team revolved around me. I should have known it was time to go, when I didn't care whether a pass hit Art Monk in the 8 or on the 1 on his uniform. When we went back to the Super Bowl, my approach had changed. I was griping about the weather, my shoes, practice times, everything. Today, I wear 2 rings, the winner's ring from Super Bowl 17 and the loser's ring from Super Bowl 18. The difference in those 2 rings lies in applying oneself and not accepting anything but the best." My friend, we have heard many different studies about the importance of having an attitude that's pleasing to the Lord. You may have read about the anatomy of an illness as perceived by the patient. Norman Cousins tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. When he was diagnosed as incurable, Cousins checked out of the hospital. Aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body, Cousins reasoned the reverse was true, so he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of Marx Brother films and old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. And amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative doctors from all over the world. What are you facing today? What are you looking at right now that would say, "I just don't think I can go through this. I can't do what you're asking of me, Lord"? Yes, you can, my friend. A chaplain was speaking to a soldier on a cot in a hospital. The soldier had just come back from the front lines, and the chaplain said to him, "You've lost an arm in the great cause of this war." And he said, "No." The chaplain looked down at him, and he said, "No." And the soldier smiled at him. He said, "Sir, I didn't lose my arm. I gave it." And my friend, in the same way, Jesus didn't lose his life. He gave it. And he gave it on purpose, that you and I, who were alienated from God and had no reason to have a good attitude because we were on a fast track to a Christless eternity, he redeemed us. It says in Ephesians 2 that while we were still dead in our transgressions and sins, Christ died for us. God raised us up. God seated us with Christ in heavenly places. And why did he do it? It says in some way that we probably won't figure out until we get to heaven, so that in the ages to come he might show his incomparable riches and his grace to us in Christ Jesus. My friend, if the world ever looks a little bit too tough for you, just take a step back and say, "You know what? This is all going to be over one day. And I'm going to be in heaven where there's no suffering and no sorrow and no sin because there's no Satan." Right now, I know that though it might seem tough and I might be going through a situation that I don't think I can handle, God's not asking me to lose this purposelessly. He's instead asking me to do it on purpose. He's asking me to give my life to Him. Why? Because He first gave His life for you and for me. And Heavenly Father, how could we possibly thank You enough? And I pray that over the weekend, we would understand that there is not a purposelessness. There is, in fact, a purposefulness in Christ, and that You are going to show my friend, You're going to show me, step by step of the way, how to turn this tragedy into a triumph, how to take our test and let it become our testimony, that others would come to know You too, that in the ages to come, You would receive not just our glory, but the glory of those that You will reach through us. And we thank You for that opportunity to serve You. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.